My dear listeners, I want to thank you for joining me today for the Pastor Study. Each and every one of you listening today is a blessing to me, and I thank and I praise God for the opportunity to come before you and talk and discuss with you as we continue our journey through the first epistle to the Corinthians. Amen. And last time we were together, we were looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And what we began to look at there is, in this chapter, Paul the Apostle gives us some practical doctrine on marriage. And last time we looked at, as a way of review, in verses 1 through 5, we looked at, he spoke about sexual relations. And then in verses 6 through 9 of 1 Corinthians 7, he addressed the unmarried and widows. And then in verses 10 to 11 in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul addresses the married. And then in verses 12 through 16, he addresses what it says there, the rest. Now we're going to pick up. And we're going to pick up in verse number 17. And what we're going to see in verses 17 to 24, an illustration to those that Paul has addressed. An illustration to those Paul has addressed. Let's look at verses, read together in 1 Corinthians chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. The Word of God says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein, abide with God." So here we see Paul is telling us to abide in whatever state you were in Christ when Christ saved you, whether single, married, or widowed. Paul preached in all the churches that the Jews shouldn't become uncircumcised or become Gentiles, and Gentiles shouldn't become circumcised or Jews. That's what he spoke about there in verses 17 through 20. Likewise, servants shouldn't seek to be free. Since they are free in Christ, free men should realize that they are not free, but are servants of Christ. We saw that and we read that in verses 21 to 24 of 1 Corinthians 7. Here's some cross references we want to look at. First, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, the Word of God has this to say, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as under Christ. not with eye service as man pleases, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that so whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatenings, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there any respect of person with him. Amen? So these verses are backing up or reinforcing what Paul says to servants. You shouldn't seek to be free, since they are free in Christ, and free men should realize that they're not free, but are servants to Christ. Amen? Now let's turn together and read in Colossians what the Word of God has to say. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25, the Word of God says this. Again, talking about servants. And again, these are cross-references that are backing up and reinforcing again what Paul is saying here about servants. Amen. And he says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. There is no respect of persons. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, we read, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So here we have, again, Paul addressing servants and masters. Servants shouldn't seek to be free, because as he stated here in verses 21 to 24 of 1 Corinthians 7, since they are free in Christ, and free men should realize that they're not free, but are serving Christ. And he also tells the masters in how to remember them, that now these your servants are members of the body of Christ, or brothers and sisters in Christ, and you should treat them accordingly. Amen. One last one in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verses 1 through 5, the Word of God says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions of strifes of words, which cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising. Prefers disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So then Paul continues here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and verses 25 to 26, and he addresses virgins. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 and 26, the Word of God says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so it to be. So Paul had not received the commandment of the Lord concerning his view on marriage. However, he strongly suggests, amen, he strongly suggests that because he had obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful, others should consider remaining single, particularly during the present distress. And of course, they aren't sinning if they decide to marry instead. Verse 28. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Now, here we go. And Paul's next addresses the issue of remarriage. So we want to look first, read together, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 27 to 28, and then verses 39 to 40. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 27 and 28, the Word of God has this to say, Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Now let's drop down to verses 39 and 40. The Word of God says, The wife is bound by law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So Paul reiterated that a married man shouldn't seek to be loosed from his wife. Yet a man who is loosed shouldn't seek a wife. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 27. A spouse can be loosed by the other spouse departing, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15, or by her death, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39, or by his or her fornication. Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, the words of Christ, he says, And I say unto you, Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Amen. So we see here a spouse who remarries, after any of these events is not sinned, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. A widow is free to marry whom she will as long as he is in the Lord, in other words, saved, 1 Corinthians 7, 39. However, Paul believed that the Holy Spirit affirmed that she would be happier remaining a widow. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 40. Now we move on, and we want to look at how Paul talks and addresses the distractions of marriage. The distractions of marriage. Let's turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we want to look at verses 29 to 35. The Word of God says, But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, and she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. In this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So Paul lived like the Lord was coming in his lifetime. He made the statement in 1 Corinthians 7:29, the time is short. He stressed that we shouldn't get tied up with the world because the fashion of the world passes away. Therefore, nothing should come between us and the Lord, whether it be a spouse or something that has made us weep or something that has made us rejoice or something that we have purchased or anything else that we use in this world. Paul wanted us to be without carefulness. An unmarried man can devote his full attention to the Lord, while a married man must also please his wife. An unmarried woman can devote her full attention to the Lord, while a married woman must also please her husband. Married people, of necessity, therefore, end up caring for the things of the world. And Paul's desire was that we may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now, the next thing, finally, we want to see that Paul discusses here in this chapter is this decision whether to marry. Let's turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 36 and 38. The Word of God says, but if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of age and need to require, let her do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in that in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, and he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. At the conclusion of this chapter, Paul dealt with whether two people who want to marry should go through with their wedding if they need so require. Then they should marry. They have not sinned. But if a man standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his will, then he shouldn't marry. He doeth well, as it says there in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 37. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 38, he that marries doeth well, but he that remaineth unmarried doeth better. And then in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 39 to 40, which we've already read, Paul warns against a second marriage. If you have a legitimate ground for remarriage, death of a spouse, for example. However, if remarry, it is to be in the Lord. In other words, that person is to be saved. So, this whole chapter, chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, Paul devotes to practical doctrine on marriage. In verses 1 to 5, he talks about sexual relations. In verses 6 to 9, he talks about the unmarried and widows. And in verse 10 and 11, he addresses the married. And in verses 12 to 16, he addresses the rest. And then in verses 17 to 24, he gives an illustration to those that he's addressed already. And then in verses 25 to 26, he addresses virgins. And then he talks in verses 27 to 28 and verses 39 to 40 about remarriage. And then he talks in verses 29 to 35 about the distraction of marriage. And then he talks finally in verses 36 to 38, the decision whether to marry or not. So now, what we're going to do is, we're going to move right into 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, Paul discusses eating things offered to idols. Eating things offered to idols. Amen. So, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 13, to deal with the problems of eating things offered to idols. Amen. In idolatry, worshipers take a sacrifice to the temple. The priest takes his portion and then sells the rest of the offering to support the temple and the priests. Paul addressed our liberty to eat in the idol's temple or to eat something that had been offered to an idol. Paul first discussed how we should generally make decisions regarding our liberty. So the first thing we want to look at is our liberty based on knowledge and charity. Our liberty based on knowledge and charity. Let's look together and read together the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. The Word of God says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." So generally speaking, two things, knowledge and charity, should govern our liberty in Christ. By knowledge, we determine whether a thing is right or wrong. If it's wrong, then we shouldn't do it. And if it's right, then we can do it. By charity, however, we decide not to do something that is right if it will not edify others. Again, by charity, however, we decide not to do something that is right if it will not edify others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, the Word of God says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Amen. Paul said, we all have knowledge, but knowledge can puff up a person up so that he uses what he knows to justify what he does without regard to how his decision affects others. Amen. In this case, if he knows eating things offered to idols won't hurt his salvation or his fellowship with the Lord, then he knows he's at liberty to eat it. See, this is how a person can justify drinking alcohol. He knows there isn't any specific command against it, so he feels justified to drink. Yet, he doesn't know everything regarding his decision as he ought to know, as it says in our text. Those who have knowledge only know what they know. They don't know everything. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, the Word of God tells us, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." So we don't know everything. We only know what the Scriptures tell us. And their knowledge alone is not sufficient to satisfactorily make the decision whether in this case to eat things sacrificed to idols. They must combine their knowledge in charity. Amen. How is what I'm going to do? Amen. How is what am I going to do affect other brothers and sisters in Christ? Amen. That's what we should have when we're making that decision. Amen. Now, those who have knowledge with charity can edify others. Those who have knowledge with charity can edify others. In Ephesians 4:15, we read this. The Word of God says, But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Even Christ. So, though they know a thing is right, they will choose not to do it because of its effect on others. Since they want to edify others rather than weaken them, they let their love for others rather than their knowledge govern their liberty. That is what Paul said when he said, "If any man love God, the same is known of him." If any man love God, the same is known of him. Their charity is evidence of their love for God. Their charity is evidence of their love for God. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Amen. So then Paul begins to deal with how people should make the decision whether to eat things offered to idols. In that decision, first of all, our decision is based on our knowledge. Let's read verses 4 through 6. "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him." Amen. Now, we're going to stop there for today. But I hope you'll join me next time as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. Until then, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.